I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Moe!
Rugby, rugby, weekly.
Little reverse pass. Oh! Oh! Oh!
Hello, you're very welcome along to Rugby Weekly Extra and morning episode. Sean Farrell joins me in studio. Murray Kinsella on the line from Tokyo as usual. Murray, we know the story at this stage. It's a familiar story, unfortunately, really, for Ireland. Another quarterfinal exit from the World Cup. The defeat isn't the surprising element. The disappointing element really is the manner of the defeat and the performance. What's kind of your initial reaction? Hugely disappointing, but have you had kind of time to reflect a bit more on it since full time?
Yeah, it was, well, first and foremost, let's get out of the way the fact that the All Blacks were superb. They played brilliantly. They took advantage of Ireland's errors and they were physically dominant in defence. They were so clinical with every chance they got, but Ireland's performance ultimately just fed into that so much. The sheer scale of the error count from Ireland was really baffling. And such basic errors, like we can probably get into style of play, we can get into selection decisions, etc., but it was just such basic stuff. I think 17 turnovers conceded, a lot of them were basic handling errors that players of the calibre of this Irish team shouldn't be making. They missed touch three times with line kicks, again just baffling at this level of the game, really. And it's clear that the occasion of the quarter final just the players just didn't live up to that. It was just such a disappointing way for Joe Schmidt's time in charge to end, because it was the exact opposite of the things that made Ireland so good under him so often. Accuracy, not making those errors, not giving the opposition those easy ins to the game. And there's no one better than the All Blacks to take full advantage when you do that.
Yeah.
So there's just a whole wide range of reasons why they're going to be disappointed, but clearly that occasion got to them again.
Yeah, the hope this week was that Ireland could pull a huge performance out of the bag. They could return to maybe 2018 form. But this, you know, there's an element of shock to the manner of defeat and the performance. But this had really been coming when you look back at 2019 as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. I was just talking about that with someone. I probably learned quite a bit as a journalists from this, and feel naive almost thinking that Ireland were just going to somehow pull out one of those 2018 performances and kind of buying into their confidence and their essentially talking themselves up this week that they were in a good place to do it. Like, now I look back and I go, hang on, they were making these kind of errors against Russia. They made these errors on a massive scale against Japan, and we even went through that in one of our articles where simple basic error after simple basic error. And the form has, as you say, has been really, really poor. It was interesting afterwards. Joe Schmidt, obviously, he's crestfallen, heartbroken. You have to feel for him and a lot of the players, and a guy like Rory Best, who's finishing up. But he was talking about they got to that high and potentially they just got so consumed with the World Cup quarterfinal and knocking off that next achievement that they lost their game-by-game focus. They clearly lost focus on some of the things that made them so good, like catching the ball and passing, because those skills have definitely declined over the course of this year. So yeah, you're right, it was coming, and I certainly feel a little bit foolish not probably going along with that form and realizing that, listen, this team hasn't played well, hasn't hit those heights yet in 2019, and now they end Joe Schmidt's era with probably the worst of the lot in 2019, even accepting the fact that the All Blacks were so good.
Yeah.
Ireland just didn't fire a single shot, really, until the game was well over.
Yeah, there's obviously going to be the post-mortem and so much talk over the coming days and weeks, but you mentioned the end of Joe Schmidt's reign there. Does this tarnish his era in Irish rugby in any way?
That's a tough one now. I think in the emotion of this afterwards, a lot of people and a lot of fans will say, yeah, it does. Listen, you got to respect what he achieved. He's moved Irish rugby onto a slightly different level. He's won three Six Nations titles, won them a Grand Slam, won a series success down in Australia, beat the All Blacks for the first two times ever. So a lot of first-time achievements, really, and certainly built new expectation levels. You got to respect those achievements. But listen, it will be a little asterisk beside his name, and the fact that there are two of them. I think for me personally, we've discussed it before, the last quarterfinal defeat was different to others because just the scale of injury suspension to key players, it was a tough one to judge them on. But this one, even against probably the best opponent they've faced in a quarterfinal, just the level of underperformance, it does definitely leave a little blot on what has largely been a superb kind of record as head coach.
Yeah, Sean, we knew they needed to be perfect, really, to get anywhere close to the All Blacks. But they just never got close. And as Murray touched on, that's just the huge disappointment of it, that they just never landed a punch. They were never in the contest. It was over, really, after 20 minutes.
Yeah, as Murray said, like, it's just error on error. All those basic little drops, little skill set, handling goes wrong. And when you play such a low-risk game, that just sucks everything away. Like, if you play a game where it's a little bit more expansive, maybe there's a little bit more room to maneuver in that. But when you play, when everything has to be spot on for this game plan to work, for that machine to run as it's planned, it's a little bit like a robot. You know, you ever see those videos where a robot puts marbles on the floor and suddenly they can't function? Aren't they a little bit like that? When there's one error, it knocks on, it knocks on, it knocks on. Pun intended, I suppose, and that just sucks everything else away. It pulls the carpet right from under them, and they can't build any sort of platform.
Yeah, as Murray said, the emotion will be kind of taken away from it in the coming days as we take a closer look and pick through the kind of the shortcomings. But I mentioned Joe Schmidt there signing off on an awful low, really, but Rory Best as well. You really had to feel from coming off. It was obviously a highly emotive moment for him, and then with his kids on the pitch after the game, just hugely again disappointing that two great servants for Irish rugby had to bow out in that way.
Yeah, great scenes, I suppose, for not great result, but great scenes as he lifts his kids down from the stands and he gets to share that moment from them. And I think he's always the guy who said they're the little moments you remember when you're retired. I think having spoken to his brother Simon, long retired, he kind of realised that they're the moments that he will end up cherishing. The look on his face when he was being interviewed on TV afterwards, and he couldn't really start his answer because the crowd was cheering for him. And I think that was a touching moment, and he definitely appreciated a lot of positivity from the crowd at that point, when everything up until that point in his day had been such a crushing low, really.
Yeah, and Murray, Schmidt and Best now move on from the setup. And as you mentioned, Andy Farrell will take the reins over the coming weeks. This is going to take a long time for the players to get over this defeat, just like it did in 2015. What was the mood? I know, you know, naturally they're going to be gutted post-match, but just in the presser and mix zone, what was kind of the general consensus coming from the Irish camp?
Yeah, they're gutted. I mean, I felt sorry for some of the lads they sent out to do media, Dave Kilcoyne, Luke McGrath. I mean, they barely even featured, really. The game was over by the time they were on. You feel sorry for people like that coming out. It should be senior players coming out and owning up, because whatever about Schmidt, we'll talk about him and his era. Like, a lot of his senior players didn't step up for him. And, like, you don't want to pick on guys. They're feeling worse than anyone. Like, it must be horrific to have put 4 years of their lives into this and to be really embarrassed in the end with that scoreline, albeit against a brilliant side. Like, they're feeling really, really, really disappointed at the moment. I understand that. But they didn't play well. A lot of the key guys didn't play well. Rory Best is slow to get in a position for that first Aaron Smith try. Johnny Sexton is missing touchline. He's losing the ball in a big Sevu Reese tackle when there's an opportunity there for Ireland. Robbie Henshaw's dropping the ball in a simple carry off a line out. And I think Schmidt will be disappointed and feel let down by a couple of those guys who he has really, really backed. He's kept faith with the experienced people in the team. It was actually fascinating afterwards. I asked Steve Hansen, you know, about the younger guys who come into his team. A lot of talk about Reese, Goodhue, Bridge, those less experienced guys, when Ireland had stuck with all the experienced guys. And he said, listen, experience is a good thing if it's experience of winning. And obviously Ireland do have experience of winning, but in a World Cup, their experience is of losing. And that's the kind of narrative they have in their heads around the World Cup. It was an interesting answer from him, and he certainly will feel a bit of satisfaction at having backed form players, younger players. It would have been easy for him to just pick Ben Smith, Rico Ioane, those kind of guys, pick Ryan Crotty and Sonny Bill Williams starting in midfield. But he felt there was energy, there was form, there was a daring from those slightly younger guys. And it was interesting to contrast those two selections. Moving forward, yeah, Andy Farrell's tarnished by this as well. I mean, his defence didn't exactly cover itself in glory. Again, he's had brilliant days as a defence coach. And if you're looking at what happens next, I guess there is a lesson in the All Blacks as well. Like, they failed in several World Cups before they got it right, obviously, in 2011. And it was interesting that after 2007, they stuck with the same coaching team largely. Now, obviously, Joe Schmidt moves on. He's got a well-earned break ahead of him. You would hope he's got a well-earned break ahead of him and doesn't go straight back into rugby. But if Ireland are going to have that continuity, then they've got to learn the lessons from this, and they've got to front up to the fact that World Cup quarterfinals and knockout games bring out the very worst in them. And they've got to look at how they're going to negotiate with that and deal with that, and culturally and mentally, which for me is the standout thing. I know people are going after Ireland's style of play, but I don't think that's really relevant now. It's the mental fact that they were making such basic errors that the pressure seemed to be too much for them. They're going to have to be really honest with it. And I mean, it's blatant. It's staring us in the face. That Irish rugby just is not good in this situation. Seven World Cup quarterfinals, and they've never won a knockout game, and that's just really jarring, particularly with the improvements and the competitiveness across other competitions and at provincial level as well. So that's a big challenge for Andy Farrell. Obviously, he is going to be, like, barring a disaster and a sacking, he is going to be in charge for this next World Cup cycle. And while everyone will willingly celebrate any successes in Six Nations, etc., Ireland just have to get better at World Cups. It's not good enough, and certainly for the level of players they have, it's not good enough.
Yeah, whatever lessons we learned today, I think, Murray, you touched on the CV Reese hit on Johnny Sexton. For me, watching on TV, that just seemed to sum up the whole day. Reese hit Sexton because Rob Kearney gets too close. They make all these little tiny errors that you don't notice until after they've happened. Rob Kearney gets too close, and everybody's kind of losing position as the move unfolds. So the pass is delayed. Reese gets a hit on him. The ball spills, and suddenly the All Blacks are away. Beauden Barrett ends up scoring almost the same try he scored in the last World Cup final. Even that little bit of muscle memory works to the All Blacks' advantage, and they are just absolutely clinical. I just felt in that moment, all Ireland's failings and all New Zealand's killer instinct all culminated in a perfect storm to sum it all up.
And how damning is that? Because what Ireland have been good at, and what by all accounts they spend a lot of their time training, is getting those lines right and being ultra nailed on in their detail. That happened there. It's happened in other games. Think back to the Samoa game where Jacob Stockdale runs the wrong line. And, you know, if you're putting that much time into nailing those plays and you're not even getting that right, well, then you're in a really bad position. If you're going to be dependent on those things to get success in attack. And they actually were focusing. Several of them mentioned that specific play after the match, but I mean, you're already chasing the game there. And if you're focusing on that as a potential turning point, I think you're probably not being realistic about the first opening 10 or 15 or whatever it was, where you were putting ball down and you're getting choke tackled with a simple carry off the side of a ruck. So, yeah, you're right. It kind of summed up that moment.
Yeah. Obviously, New Zealand advance and they play England in next weekend's semi-final while Ireland head home. And I think watching England this morning, Sean, impressively power their way past the challenge of Australia in the first quarter final. It just kind of hammers home how far Ireland are behind at the moment.
Yeah, there was a lot of similarities I felt in the way England pulled away from Australia in kind of similar way to the pulled away from us in the opening Six Nations game. And they were absolutely vicious when presented an opportunity. You think of those two Johnny May tries within minutes of each other in the first half, when it had been quite a tight game up until that point, but they just put the hammer down and they pull away, and it's going to be a cracking semi-final, because those two teams are by a distance, it looks like right now, the best teams in the world, and they're going to give each other a hell of a battle.
Yeah. Murray, we'll let you go because I know we're trying to catch the bus back to the hotel. So thanks a million as always. And I'm sure we'll catch up with you over the next coming days as we pick through another hugely disappointing day for Irish rugby at a World Cup.
Okay, cheers, guys.
Cheers, Murray. Thanks a million, and we'll catch you soon. Take it easy.
I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Lowe!
Rugby Weekly.
Little reverse pass, and
magic!
You're not alive until you start kicking when the room is spinning and the world...